Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Resiliency Radio with Rick Allen and Lauren Monroe. Interactive radio to empower, educate, and inspire during difficult times. Featuring live interviews with celebrity guests and cutting-edge professionals working in the fields of health, wholeness, and resiliency. This program is brought to you by the Raven Drum Foundation's Veteran Resiliency Project and is dedicated to all our military and their families. For more information, visit us on the web at www.ravendrumfoundation.org. Welcome to Resiliency Radio, everyone. My name is Lauren Monroe, and I'm here with my very attractive co-hosts, Rick Allen, everyone, and Moon Calhoun.
Hello.
Yeah. It's a small crowd tonight, but getting bigger by the minute.
It's growing.
Fantastic.
So we have a great show planned for tonight. We'll be talking to Kathy Late and talking about an introduction to biofield therapy and healing touch. Now, for those of you who don't know Kathy, she's an RN and also a healing touch practitioner. If you don't know what healing touch is, it's an energy therapy where it's a heart-based therapy where people receive healing through the subtle energy body. And we'll talk a little bit about what a subtle energy is in this particular show. We did have a chance to talk to her, and we pre-recorded the interview, and it's a great interview. So for those of you who are just getting your head around what subtle energy is and how that works, it'll be very informative to learn more about it. What do you guys think? I mean, it was a great time talking to Kathy.
That was awesome. It was very, very wonderful experience.
No, it was really good. And I've actually experienced it, not with Kathy, but it was very profound. And I remember there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Everybody, it was very emotional for me and for everybody that was working on me. So it was fantastic to speak to Kathy and get a more in-depth explanation of what it is that she does, and what it is. So I think it's going to be a great show for everybody.
Yeah, and I think it's important for people to understand many modalities of healing, so they can help restore balance for themselves and seek out modalities to help treat various things. And this is one of them that we think is really profound and wonderful to find and to learn about.
Mm-hmm.
After we share our interview with everybody, we're going to be doing some live drumming as we do every show. And we're going to be asking you to call in with questions and comments and just thoughts, because we want to hear from you. And the number is 347-843-4903. So everybody, just, you know, hang on for a minute. We're going to put in our interview. So you can listen, yeah.
Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lauren.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Moon.
You're welcome.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Resiliency Radio. We have our special guest on the line. Kathy Late is with us. Hi, Kathy.
Hello. Nice to be here.
We're really excited to talk to you today about healing touch, about subtle energy healing and energy medicine and how everything works. So let's jump right in. And can you tell us a little bit about you? And because our listeners would love to know about you and how you became involved in this work.
Well, I am Canadian, but I am bilingual. I do speak American, having grown up right across from Detroit, Michigan. So I can speak American at any time. But if my oats and a boots get to you after a while, just let me know. I come from a classic nursing background in cancer and palliative care, And in the early 90s, I was a very stressed out nurse manager working in Toronto, Ontario, during a time of fiscal restraint where we were being asked to do the impossible, which I'm sure many people down there can relate to right now. And a girlfriend of mine walked up to me and said, "Kath, I'm really worried about you. I want you to go see my friend, Susan Morales." And I said, "Why? What does she do?" And then she told me she does energy work. Where I said, "You mean that stuff where they wave their hands over you?" And she said, "Yes." And I looked at her like she was crazy. And I said, "Honestly, I'd rather go have a martini." So a couple weeks went by. She continued to be concerned, and she asked me what I was doing on a Thursday night. I said nothing. I thought we were going to go for martinis. And she said, "No, I've booked your appointment with Susan, and I've paid for it, so you have to go now." Wow. So I came into this work quite the skeptic. I literally went to see Susan just to shut my friend up, and laid on that table and had the most, with my eyes wide open, fully prepared to go see I'm done there and go home, and had an entirely new world of experience and healthcare open to me in that 1 hour treatment. And I haven't looked back. I've since completed the 5 levels of the Healing Touch program, become a certified practitioner, done my master's research in this work. I'm known in both countries for being someone to bring this work to conventional healthcare, and I'm now doing my PhD studies. So that just goes to show you what can happen if a friend tricks you.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, so it's completely changed my nursing practice. I now teach nursing, and it's changed many of my students' lives as well. So it's very exciting what's possible with this work.
Fantastic.
So I was a confirmed skeptic and continue to be skeptical for those of your listeners who are skeptical. I continue to be skeptical, and that's why I'm doing my PhD research.
Mm-hmm. Good. So, Kathy, subtle energy healing, what is it?
Well, to really understand subtle energy healing, you kind of have to understand subtle energy and what that means. And it's basically those forces. I guess if I was to run into you on the street and have you ask me that question, I would just say there are those forces or influences that connect us, those sort of unseen knowings that go on between people. And I guess the best example I could give you is, do you know how when you can walk into a room and you can sense the tension in the room without anybody saying anything?
The vibes, you know?
Yeah. Yes, there's a vibe in the room, or there's a levity in the room. Like people can tell that people have been happy in the room, I think it's very primal in our brains that we recognize these energies and know that they exist, but they're very difficult to measure at this time in conventional practice. So there's developing ways right now of measuring these fields, but that we kind of know they exist, kind of like the wind. You can't see the wind either, but you can kind of feel it. You know it's there. That's what subtle energy is. And so subtle energy healing is about relearning, and I say that purposely, relearning our human ability to tap into that energy and intentionally assist others in their holistic healing, like their physical, emotional, spiritual, and intellectual health.
Fantastic.
So that's what that's about. And there's many different interpretations of subtle energy healing that are out there.
Yeah, not too long ago, I was looking through a book called The Field Lynn McTaggart.
Lynn McTaggart, yes.
And that was alluding to, you know, the space between us. And how we can affect that space between us, and how, you know, we can help each other or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really, I mean, Lynn's work has been, she's been very successful and appropriately so. And she talks about, it's not even the space between us, it's the idea that there is no space between us.
Right, okay.
It's that we are all connected. The whole idea behind subtle energy is that there is no space between us. We actually are one in more than just our consciousness. We are one in our energy fields and that we're connected at these energy levels as opposed to just in physical. It's more than just physical touch. So her work's been quite well received and is very user friendly for people to read that are trying to get their heads around this. And the other book that was really popular, now that you bring up books, was The Secret, and this idea that intentional thought actually creates your reality. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole idea behind the fact that our thoughts create our reality as well. That is part of this whole subtle energy field.
How does that work? How does that work in a, say, healing touch session or any kind of subtle energy healing session? How does that...
I've become quite intrigued, although it's not officially part of Healing Touch program. Part of Healing Touch program and why I love the program is that it kind of forced. In your last levels of the program, you actually have to do all this reading. You have to read about all these other interpretations and things like that. And within that reading, and I, off the top of my head, can't, there were multiple sources, that's why I can't remember them, but I became very intrigued by the power of language and how language can shape our reality. So, for example, if you say, I'm going to get better or I'm going to feel fine, you're always speaking in the future, and therefore, energetically, you don't change to match what you're saying. So what I try to do now is always say, I am centered, not I'm going to be centered, mm-hmm. or I am healthy, not I'm going to be healthy.
Right.
So it's the idea that there's power in words and that words can actually change energy around you. And I use often with my children, I have two children with ADHD, so I'm often tested in my thinking and my belief system. Where I have to say, I am grounded, I am, you know, like this, that I speak in the present as opposed to the future, because the idea behind that is that things manifest energetically first and then show up physically.
Right.
So if you say, I am healed, as opposed to, I'm going to be healed or I'm going to get better, there's the idea behind that.
Yeah, like, what are you waiting for?
Yeah.
Well, it's just make it, it's happening now, it's not happening.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
If you speak in the future, then it will always be in the future.
Right, like saying, I wish or I try, not necessarily I do or
I am. Or I am,
yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We were speaking with a friend of ours, his name is Tony Robbins, and he talks mm-hmm. about, you know, people fulfilling their destiny, and one of the things he does that I think is really funny is he's asked someone to try to lift a chair. And when, mm-hmm. when they go to lift the chair, he's like, no, you're how are you trying to lift it? No, he asks someone to lift the chair.
That's right.
Lift the chair. And the person goes to lift the chair. He's like, no, you're not lifting the chair. You're trying to lift
you're
the chair.
You're trying to lift the chair.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between doing something and trying to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So that transfers into energy work and energy healing from both the practitioner standpoint and the recipient standpoint, because one of the things that's really important in all forms of energy work is that the person, the practitioners of the energy work, and some people call them healers and some people call them practitioners, and I'm comfortable either way. It's just that some people, there's value mm-hmm. often placed on the word healer, is the idea that we're responsible for being healthy and fully present and open as well, because you can't do this work, you can't be this work, if you're not taking care of yourself as well.
Absolutely.
So it's really, that was a really important part of it for me, because I don't know about your experience in healthcare, but within my industry or profession, there's a lot of human doings out there as opposed to human beings, where we get very caught up in tasks as opposed to being with people.
Right.
So this was a beautiful way to do that.
No, that's fantastic you say that, Carl, a classic example. Mm-hmm. You know, the cancer book. Remember?
Carl Simonton.
And his notion was, you know, treating the patient, not the diseased. And that was very important.
Well, we find that working with a lot of our veterans, that the families, you know, are also, you know, they have certain stages of PTSD too, and they, you know, and it's the caregivers that also need to be, you know, trained and to learn how to take care of themselves. It's a big piece of working with veterans that we find that there's a void to fill there. And for all of us, I think any caregiver, even if you're a mom, you know, just taking care of your children, we find that mm-hmm. most moms they tend to give and not take care of themselves. And it's a skill. And I think Healing Touch is one of the ways, once you start experiencing the work, or if you're on the path you want to be giving the work, you become aware of what you need on a very subtle level. And awareness is like the first step to healing and changing your life. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience in, you know, how healing touch and how it affects people around the globe, and how people can access, you know, receiving this treatment?
Oh, certainly. Well, I guess the best way to look at is when you look at the anecdotal reports of what comes out of a healing touch session, it definitely promotes the relaxation response. Even in the master's work that I did, that was with women who were receiving chemotherapy. So they were getting healing touch while they were actually having the chemotherapy injected into mm-hmm. their intravenous. Mm-hmm. And I asked them what that experience was like. And this is a common phenomenon in people receiving the work, is they feel like they lose track of time. They lose a sense of their environment around them. They feel deeply relaxed and deeply cared for and cared about, as if they, one woman told me that she felt, she had not felt that safe since she was held in her mother's arms as a child.
That's so beautiful.
And she was in a busy cancer center having chemotherapy pushed into her arms at the time.
Wow.
And so it transcends. There are studies that show that it actually changes brain waves and promotes relaxation. It helps people become much more aware of themselves. So at that kind of that's kind of worth it right there. But in terms of some other outcomes around the world, we're seeing reductions in pain in the well-designed studies that are done, and there's not a lot of them. I'm going to preamble any of the research with the fact that there's very few really well-done studies, but the ones that are done are showing reductions in pain, reductions in stress, improved quality of life, a reduced length of stay in hospital,
mm-hmm.
and some of the qualitative data that's coming out is people are saying they can't imagine going through some of these horrific experiences without it.
Right.
Now, so there's been a lot of work done in cancer and in cardiovascular and in pain, and people may be aware of the Cochrane database, and the Cochrane database are people that actually take all the studies, put them together to look at really, is there something to this therapy or not? And the Cochrane database looked at all the treatments that had been, or all the research that had been done in biofield therapies. That's another name for subtle energy
mm-hmm.
healing. All the therapies are called biofield therapies. And to see if they impacted on pain. And in the studies they looked at, there was at least a moderate effect in reduction of pain. However, they couldn't say it conclusively because there aren't enough studies done.
Right.
So I'm just letting you know that multi-million-dollar drug trials are put on the market when they have lower than that.
Right. Wow.
Lower than a moderate effect.
Right.
It's strange how they have double standards, eh?
Well, we need money to research.
Yeah, I know.
It's weird stuff, right? So it's hard to get people's head around things that that you can't touch or feel, and yet when you speak to a conventional practitioner or a therapist, and I do have my foot in that camp as well, I completely understand that given the economy and people's concerns about shams and quacks and people taking advantage of other people, I understand why the research has to be good, and that's part of my commitment to becoming a good researcher.
That's true. Not everybody out there knows this, but I lost my arm, my left arm, when I was 21. Lost it in a car accident, and the seatbelt actually came undone and took my arm. And ever since that day, I always feel every last detail of my left arm. I think some people call it the phantom limb effect. And sometimes it's more painful than others. Could you explain to me how this kind of work could help myself or anybody else that's going through any kind of phantom limb effect? And Moon, actually, really, he suffers terribly because when he had his accident, he
bruised my spinal cord.
Yeah, bruised the spinal cord. And he gets this terrible sensation,
yeah.
This nerve sensation.
Yeah.
Is there any way this kind of work can help people like myself or Moon?
I would say that there is no harm in trying, and that because there's no research that says yes, definitely. That's the scientist in me. Yeah. As a practitioner, I can say I can almost guarantee you that you would increase some awareness that may help bring you to a different place of learning about this pain, what it's about. And I'm going to back up just a bit for both of you and for those of your listeners who are have lost limbs. You've lost your physical limb, but you've not lost your energetic limb.
Yeah.
So if I was to assess you energetically, I would probably find your arm. And your arm, and this is where I'm going to get weird, where intuitively this is what I'm feeling, is that your arm is actually twisted behind you, that it's twisted backward.
Yeah, that's a good assessment.
And that's where the trauma is, and that in doing energy work with you, I may be able to bring your energetic arm back to where it should be, so that you're not constantly strained. It's constantly pulled backwards, which is why it's so painful for you. And so in exploring that, we would find out how we could repair that energetic trauma, and hopefully it would manifest in your physical body as relief.
Fantastic. That actually leads me on.
And I'd be happy to do that for you anytime, Rick.
That's fantastic. That actually leads me on to something else, because, you know, obviously we're talking to you on the phone, and, this is quite a long-distance affair, as it were. Would you be able to do that kind of work, say, me sitting here in California and you sitting, you know, up there in Canada? How would that work? Would long distance work apply?
It certainly does. I will tell you that I'm not a distance healer practitioner, but the principles are pretty much the same. Distance healing is not part of Healing Touch program, but as I said again, in that last level of the program, we have to explore and expand other therapies and look at how we incorporate them into the curriculum that is Healing Touch program. And certainly, it would be worth trying. I find that there's, you know, when people talk about the placebo effect that occurs as a result of the exchange between a practitioner and a recipient, I certainly think that can augment the experience. Like, I could certainly be with you, and the fact that I'm actually physically present with you may change the impact of that exchange.
Right.
But certainly there's enough research out there on laying on of hands or distance healing or spiritual healing that it's convincing. There was a recent study presented where a healer from Japan actually worked with people in California. So, yeah, I guess the short answer is yes, we could try that.
Fantastic. I already
I'd
knew.
I'd much rather see the mountains out there, though.
No. Well, that was.
I'd much rather get out of the snow and come there. But certainly, it happens, and that happens. You know, when people talk to me about, well, how is this different than prayer? You know, when people set intention mm-hmm. for healing, I there really is not a difference other than the fact that those who are praying believe that they're praying to their interpretation of spirit and God, or their interpretation of spirit. And so the collective energy, you know, when you look even in biblical phrases, when two of you more of you come together, collective energy actually works better.
Right.
And I'm going to do a plug for, I know you're going to be doing this broadcast, but by the time this is actually broadcast, there's I'm hopeful that people will continue to be sending collective energy to the waters of Japan and the people
yes,
of Japan
absolutely.
Yeah.
collectively.
Yes.
Because it's critical, and there's a whole other topic we could talk about in terms of how energy impacts on water.
No, I mean I knew a lot of the answers that you just you just said, but I just wanted to hear it from you, because it's fantastic. I've experienced some long distance healing, and mm-hmm. A couple of friends of ours that live in Germany, and I had problems with my back one time, and they said, okay, at this certain time, you know, just get yourself relaxed, and you know, and I knew I was receiving this healing, and it really helped. I did three sessions with them, for about 15 minutes each day, and it was fantastic. So thank you for your interpretation of that.
At the end of our shows on Resiliency Radio, and for this show too, we do drum circles, and we do energy healing through the drumming. So I hope at some point you'll be able to set your intention with us and be a part of our team sending energy out to everyone too.
I'd be happy to do that. I know we're probably getting close to the, like, I'm looking at the time too, and I'm thinking, my goodness, how did it go so quickly? But I'm wanting to let people know what is going on. Although I'm Canadian, I'm very well connected with my Healing Touch colleagues in the States in terms of what's going on, because I want to make sure that people know how they might be able to become involved in this, either to receive treatment or learn how to do this mm-hmm. treatment. I know that there's a number of practitioners who are actually going to, I think they're called stand downs, and providing healing touch work free of charge to veterans and their families. If people want to learn or have a group of you be taught how to do this therapy and receive the therapy or learn a little bit about it, they can go to the Healing Touch Program website, certainly.
Absolutely. And we'll be listening
and learn about classes and instructors and things like that. But I'm just wondering if there's any other questions that you have of me.
I would love for you to share the story. When I spoke to you some months back, you shared a story
yeah.
with me. One of your first sessions you did was with an amputee.
Yeah.
And it was so profound. I would love for you to share it with our listeners.
Oh, I'd be happy to share that story. As I mentioned earlier in the interview, I was pretty skeptical about this work. And like I said, I still feel pretty strange if I truly disconnect from all that seems logical to me and my hands start moving and I'm doing work above someone's body. But I was working as a staff nurse and had a patient who had a below knee amputation as a result of diabetes mm-hmm. complications, had horrific neuropathic pain, this phantom limb pain, and just was so uncomfortable. It was very young, and this was just consuming his life. And I didn't know, like, I was using narcotics, and of course there's all these complications with narcotics that just, you know, just the side effects alone, let alone the stigma that goes along with it. And I said to him, well, I know how to do, and I was only like a level one or two practitioner at the time. And I said, I know how to do this stuff, and it looks kind of weird. And I said, it looks kind of weird, but I might be able to help you. And he said, I'll do anything. And so I started treating him. And what was really interesting when I assessed his energy field is his leg was actually bent. His energetic leg was actually bent right under him, and the lower portion of his leg, the part that was physically amputated, mm-hmm. was actually pushed right down into the mattress of the bed. It was as if it was stuck underneath
right.
him.
Wow.
And
wow.
so when I treated him, I didn't say anything to him about it. I just thought, well, if I can actually help his energy field become smooth, balanced, and energized, which is what we try to do when we don't actually try to fix anything. We just set intention for the energy field to be clear, smooth, and energized, and to be vehicles of the higher good for this person. That's pretty much my intention. So my hands went down and cradled his energetic lower leg, and I gently brought it out, lifted it up a little bit above the mattress, and gently placed it down and then smoothed it down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, well, that's, I'm not sure if that did anything or not. So I continued with the therapy. And the young man, his face was getting softer, like more relaxed and things. But that's common, so I didn't say anything. So at the end of it, I always ask at the end of the therapy, is there anything you wish to share with me? And he said, I have no idea what you did. He said, but it was as if you took my leg and lifted it up and straightened it out. And my leg, for the first time in months, does not hurt.
Oh,
that's awesome.
That's really beautiful.
And so I was thinking,
yeah.
Okay, this is really weird. And again, if I'm a pretty straightforward, conservative person. And I thought, for me, that was so convincing, that the power of this work and what's possible. And I don't think I have any special powers or anything. I think anybody can do this. So in terms of the applications to your often traumatized young men coming home and their families. If people can give this gift to each other, can you imagine the healing that could occur in that community? Mm-hmm. Just the reduction in use of pain medication, or at least the being able to live with, you know, and go on and have some kind of a productive and fulfilling life without being consumed by whether it's spiritual pain, emotional pain, or physical pain.
That's a very
and,
the, cool
and these young guys come home having seen stuff that they never thought possible, you know, and I can't even begin to understand that trauma. So it's a way for people to connect and to heal themselves and to stay present in what's really important in life.
Hey, Moon here. I wanted to address the pain med issue. I'm on pain meds for my spinal cord injury. I've been on them for at least 15 years. Would that interrupt the healing, or would I have to get off the meds, or which is a scary thought. I hate being on them because of all the side effects.
It's a good question. We don't promote people stopping their meds because it's certainly considered to be a complementary or integrative therapy. We don't. But I think what happens is as you get results, as things change, we encourage you to talk to your either your nurse practitioner or your physician to talk about is it possible to change things. So if your pain or function improved, certainly that's when we'd ask you to go and be assessed, and you could make those plans with your allopathic practitioners, like your conventional practitioners. So, and have I had people come off their medications? Yes. Eventually not need their medications? Yes.
Great.
But you may be able to reduce the amount you need.
Right.
So, I mean, there's no guarantees that, nor are there the research to support that. I would just say that we strongly encourage you to work with your healthcare team to take you where you're at that time.
Right, that's encouraging, though. And the idea of getting function back, too, that also sounds possible with the work, getting movement back.
It never ceases to amaze me. There's back techniques within our program that, and I'll give you an example. My sister, who, again, was a skeptic, my older sister, suffered with terrible sciatica and was ready to have surgery. And I said to her, you know, surgery can create a whole other realm of problems. I'm not going to say that surgery isn't necessary sometimes. Please no one hear me say that, because I think it is. But I said to her, before you do that, why don't you try to go see, and she was in a different city, so I sent her to one of my colleagues who's a practitioner in my hometown, and she was treated, and she now swears by it. She did not require surgery. Over a period of a couple of weeks, she saw a drastic improvement and is now fully functional.
Wow.
Now, as far as the research, I know you said there is, you know, there's limited research, but in the realms of veterans and some of these the stand downs that you were talking about and sharing this work with the vets, I'd love if there's any bit of research that's been done with them. I'd love to hear about it.
The most current piece of research is from a research colleague, Diane Wynne Wardell, out of University of Texas, and her team. And it's a study that was done in 2008 looking at healing touch and progressive relaxation for chronic neuropathic pain in people with spinal cord injuries. And that was a specific study done out of the Houston VA Medical Center.
Wow.
And what they showed, it was a pilot study, and this is why, you know, I'd already mentioned about the some of the limitations because of sample size and things. There was a significant difference in the pain inventory, but it wasn't significant. But they didn't have a lot of people in the study, but it was really definitely worth looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's a specific study, and I guess one of my hopes is that that there would be further funding for larger multi-center studies with people affiliated with the VA, and we're certainly working toward trying to do that, because I understand that there's been some new documents come out or new policies come out of the Department of Defense and the VA in terms of looking at managing pain in unique and creative ways.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that we can play a part in that, because I think Canada is involved in Afghanistan quite a bit, and certainly we want to help these young people and their families when they come back.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been a wonderful...
And those who are still suffering, because, I mean, certainly having grown up on the border during the Vietnam War, you can be sure that I know how many of those vets got left behind and are still suffering. You know, with pain and different kinds of pain because of the lack of popularity of that war.
Mm-hmm.
This whole other, there's layers and layers of healing that can go on.
Well, we're excited to share what you do with as many people as we can, and tell people that they can get involved. I mean, just using their intention, they can help people around them, you know. And in fact, we're gonna try it on the show. The next, we're gonna try using our intention.
We do every show, every drum circle.
But I mean, specifically for this, which
we're gonna be doing some specific work with you, hopefully. If people want to get more information about Healing Touch, they just go to healingtouchprogram.com or research. They can go to healingtouchresearch.com.
Healingtouchresearch.com has some of the studies listed. And again, I will just tell you another search vehicle I've for people who may not have access to search engines but want to find abstracts on research and Healing Touch. There's two other websites. One is called the World Catalog, which is, for anyone who likes looking for things, the World Catalog is almost like Google. In terms of, for people who like literature, it's www.worldcat.org. And in there, you can just put Healing Touch, and you can find articles and books and things like that. And it will at least tell you what library is close to you that may have those resources. Mm-hmm. Also, don't negate the power of Google Scholar, because Google Scholar will bring you to the scholarly articles and the research on this work.
Great.
As well. Other forms of things. And there is also a research survey available through www.healingtouchinternational.org as well.
That's fantastic.
That lists a lot of the research. And again, I will just say, though, just because there is a study doesn't necessarily mean that it was a well-done study, but all of it together seems to collectively show that this actually does also affect. Another recent study found that it really impacts on immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so the possibilities for research are endless.
This is fantastic. It's wonderful to have you on the show. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but... we'd love to have you back on another time and talk specifically and about some of the work that's going to be happening with vets in the VAs down the road with Healing Touch.
That would be terrific.
So thank you, Kathy.
I really appreciate you having me on, and wish you all well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Take care, Kathy.
And we'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back, everyone. That was a fantastic interview, and we hope you really enjoyed it and got some really useful information about subtle energy healing and how we can all heal ourselves and each other through that wonderful modality. So we're going to step into the world of subtle energy healing by using the drums. And like we always do, we're going to be including you. So we're hoping that you're at this point sitting in a place that's really quiet and calm where you can participate with us. You can use any percussion instrument that you have. You can just sit and take in the sounds that we're creating and follow along in our with breathing and with visualizing. Tonight, it's myself and Moon and Rick playing. Rick's at the drum kit, and I'm playing a djembe, and Moon's playing with some really cool brushes on a tubano. So please join in with us, and we're going to get started and just set our intentions. So just take a moment and just sit with your feet on the floor. And just take a deep breath in. Just begin to reel your mind into this moment with us. And approach this drum circle together with the notion that we are connected, all of us. And with our focus to heal, use your intention to bring forth the strength that you have in the moment. The strength that you had today. And it may be a small part of you today if you're feeling weak today, if you're feeling sad today. But just look at where you were strong. It may just be in a compassion you had for your child. It may be in your ability to organize today and that you did really well. It may be in how you were able to have stamina today, even though you were tired. And bring that forth in our drumming today to share with everyone. And collectively, we'll be sharing our strengths with each other. We'll be affecting each other. Sharing our strengths not only with our intent, but also affecting each other's cell tissue, affecting each other's spirit. And as we drum, keep this intention and put it out there. And also open yourself up to receive what's being given to you. So start, and please take a deep breath and continue breathing as we drum together. Thank you. and be in gratitude. How's everybody feeling, okay?
It was a bit funky.
Yeah. Well, come on over.
Yeah.
We hope that everyone out there can take that with them. And I always feel connected to everybody that's listening when we do this. And we'd love to hear from you if you want to give us a call. Just call us. 347-843-4903. If you have any questions or thoughts. We do have a chance to win tonight. And we'll be drawing a winner. And you'll be the winner will be receiving a Oneness Chance CD, a signed Oneness Chance CD. So
I thought we were going to give Moon away.
Well, you know, that's an idea.
I think so. Maybe they get the Oneness CD and Moon.
Double bonus.
Yeah. Fantabulous.
I like that.
You were pretty funky there, Moon.
I was funking.
You were funking.
My roots are showing.
So before we choose a chance to win, I just want to let everyone know that we were really excited about talking with Kathy, that we were able to do a part two to that interview. So we'll be airing that. Just stay tuned to see when that's coming around. So we will be airing a part two to that, just to get deeper into consciousness and subtle energy and how collectively we can heal one another. Also, we want to let you know that we are releasing the Raven Drum Circle CD, and it will be available within the next 2 weeks. So please keep checking the Raven Drum website to get your copy, so you can take home a lengthier version of what we do here. And it's a replica of our drum circles that we do at our community circles around the country and here in Los Angeles. I think we do have a couple of questions here.
No, I've got a bunch of questions.
Do you have some questions?
I do.
We have some hands raised on the switchboard. Let's see. Are they ready to be listened to? Well, maybe not.
Present.
They're being screened at the moment.
We'll wait.
Are
you in the green room?
Yes, they're in the green room.
Well, while you're in the green room, grab yourself a drink and, you know, find the comfy chair.
A little bit of tofu. I was watching Joy Behar last night, and she was talking to Rachel Ray about different foods and everything, vegetarian diet. And she says, she's talking about tofu. She's like, the only thing that I agree with tofu is the two last letters in the word. That's what I think of tofu. She said.
Terrible.
It made me laugh so hard.
I didn't get the joke at the time. Now I do.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So we have Joan on the line.
Joan Behar?
No.
Jay?
No.
Joe?
And she's got a question, so I'm going to see if she'd like to join us. Let's see. Where are you?
Louis, somebody join us.
Yeah, well, there's some definitely some things going on the switchboard once again that I cannot. Let's see, there she is. Here she is. Joan, can you hear me? Can I call you Joanie? For some reason, I'm not getting Joan. But we will try. Joanie, wait, no, we lost her. Oh, I am having some trouble with switchboards. So can anybody whistle a tune?
No, can we should go back into the drum circle.
Caller, are you there?
I am.
You are on the air. Is this Joan?
No, my name is Cindy.
Oh, Cindy. Oh,
yes, of course.
Cindy.
Rhymes with?
Joan.
It's close enough.
Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, this is a really good subject tonight, and a lot of people do find it. I don't know if it's people don't believe in it, that you can kind of wish, I don't want to say wish yourself well, but if you start, you know, you can do a lot more with your mind than you think.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And, you know, I had a surgery last year, and I don't like to be on pain pills. I don't like to be on any kind of medication. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of, I read some of your postings, and Rick was telling, you know, just slow, deep breaths. And I kind of learned that I can, if I learn to relax, then the pain would get a little bit, you know, it'd be easier to bear.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would be, you know, cause I don't like to use any kind of medication. But when you just have surgery, you really don't have a choice. But then it got easier as it went along to where I didn't have to be on the medication. I could actually know what's going on around me.
Absolutely.
That's really
and
good.
It's guiding your mind. Exactly. And even when you're on meds and you have to have meds, you can assist those medications and have less if your mind is engaged in your healing process and your pain management. And that's how a lot of people go off. If they have to take long-term drugs for pain, it's gradual. They get off them gradually, learning pain management techniques that essentially is
right.
Learning how to use your mind to guide your pain. And after a while, your pain decreases because mm-hmm. your mind's involved.
That's right.
And so you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And Even if people don't believe in this, how fantastic would it be just to wake up and use your intention in a good way? And hey, what happens if it works? You know,
you never know until you try. And
exactly,
you know, I work with people that don't they think I'm kind of odd because I'm a vegetarian and I don't eat meat and I tried to do things and teach my daughter, about to be environmentally conscious, and just watch what we do and everything that we do have the effect on others. And, sometimes you can, people rub off on you and you learn things from other people. And, what you and Lauren do you really promote so many good things and with your time and showing everybody that you can do things differently, and you can, every day you can learn something new, and it's nice that you guys have such a good out. I mean, you between Twitter and your Facebook and radio. I mean, you guys really do a lot of good things for people, and
that's
it's just
cool.
Amazing. You're a great gift to so many people.
Thank you. Really appreciate that, and we appreciate you calling and sharing your experience with us. It's important for everyone to hear that too.
Every time you're on, I always listen because. I always learn something, and it's always positive. So, just that you take the time out with chats and things like that, it's great, and I appreciate it. And I've been a fan for almost my entire life, and, looking forward to the tour and seeing you, live again. But, just what you do outside of your job, basically, it's awesome. And
thank you.
Very cool.
We have three more minutes left to the show, and we do have a couple of calls. We want to say hi to some people. So we're really happy that you called, and we look forward to talking to you again, Cindy.
Take care.
Okay, have a great night. You too. Bye.
All
good
right.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Hello?
Good evening.
Hello, Rick?
Yes.
Oh, I got through this. This is Joni. And I finally do.
Yes, Cindy.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I have a question about this summer. I'm wondering, when you're out on tour, are you still going to be able to do this from the road?
Apparently I can call in and be involved in the show. I thought they were bringing Moon in to get rid of me, but fortunately... I'm still going to be part of the show, so I'm excited about that. Yeah, it'll be really good. I'll be able to call in from the road.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome. And if y'all happen to stop in Wichita, Kansas, between the places you're going, you can always stop by and get a smiley face and a hug from me. So, thank you for all you guys do.
All right, barbecue. Barbecue.
Oh, there you go.
Fantastic. Anyway, I think we've got... Do we have another person?
We
on
have
the,
one more person.
We have one more
minutes.
Person. Hey, thank you for calling.
have a good
so
night, guys.
Bye,
good
take
night.
Care.
Bye.
I believe...
Ooh!
Is this John Roberts? Nope. I think we lost him.
Uh-oh. It happens to me all the time.
We did. Oh, no, there he is. John. Is that you, John? John.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, John.
Hello.
This is John Roberts from Wounded Warrior Project. We're very happy to have you on the show.
Well, you know, Rick and I have had a lot of conversations, and Lauren, about pain meds and things we've gone through and my year in a burn ward and being addicted to morphine, and I absolutely refuse nowadays to take any kind of pain meds. And any kind of treatment that advocates for the, for getting guys off pain meds and living a drug-free life, I'm a huge advocate for.
That's fantastic, John. Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks for listening to this episode. It's a really wonderful topic, and that we'd love to share with you when we see you again.
Oh, absolutely. It should be soon.
Cool, man.
Well, we have a few more seconds before this show ends, and we're going to pick a winner to receive a wonderful One Is Chance CD. So if you stay on the line, we'd love to talk to you a little bit after the show, John. All right, here we go.
Are we reaching into the magic
We have 28
sack?
Seconds.
28 seconds. I've got one here. What does that say?
And the winner is...
Do you
want to
read that? Wendy May.
Jennifer will be contacting you. Congratulations, Wendy. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And keep in touch with us. We'll have another show coming up next month.
Big love.
Thanks, everyone. We'll be right back.